like for me, I grew up in the Middle East as an Asian, and we did have, and I'm Korean, and I did used to go to Korean church, but it's different when you're growing up as the only Asian in your Arab classes, and you don't really get that representation. You don't really get growing up with like friends in that culture that understand what it's like to be an Asian in a Middle Eastern country. And so being here at BFA, I think it's really, really helped me like take pride in my culture.
Welcome to the BFA Life Podcast. Join us as we explore our school's global impact, get to know the families we serve, and catch a glimpse of God at work.
Welcome back to the BFA Life Podcast, everybody. My name is Josh, and this week, Elisa, my co-host, and I get to take a look at a very unique program that we have here at BFA called Asian Care. Did you know that a third of our student body is Asian, which makes for a really beautiful mix of culture, language, food, and perspectives? Now, it seems fitting that we would talk about this since we just celebrated the Lunar New Year. Many of our students come from the Asian context, and so we had food and games and decorations, and it was just a beautiful time. So we're going to hear from our Asian coordinator, Esther. We'll also hear from an alumna of BFA who was a part of the Asian community here on campus, as well as some current students who enjoy community and fellowship within the Asian Care program. So glad you're here. Thanks for listening, and we'll get right into it.
Hi, I'm Esther Penner. I'm the Asian Care coordinator here at BFA. I'm also a mom of a senior. This is my fourth year here serving as Asian Care coordinator, and I'm originally from the Chicago area.
Awesome. Josephine?
Hi, I'm Josephine. I'm a senior here. This is my second year at BFA, and I'm Chinese, so I'm in Asian Fellowship.
And what dorm are you in?
I'm in Stork.
Awesome.
Hi, my name is Ilyas. I am a third year here. I'm a senior. My mom's Korean, my dad's American, and I'm currently at Zona.
Awesome. And you grew up in what part of the world?
I grew up in the Middle East, in Turkey and a bit in Jordan.
Sweet. Let's start with Esther. Why don't you tell us, just kind of give us a structure or a basic understanding of what Asian Care is for someone who literally has no context to BFA in that program.
Yeah, so Asian Care has two folds. One is for the parents, and the school side, the adults, I should say, is where I bridge the gap between the two cultures of the Asian culture and the Western culture, as the school is very Western. And so I can serve as a liaison between cultures, translator. A lot of departments come to me for cultural input, whether it's student learning or res life or whatnot. So that's kind of like my adult side. And then there's the student side where I do Asian fellowship, and the students join me at my house once a month. Kind of goes by grades usually, where they come once a week and we share a meal together and we talk about different things about Asian culture. This year we're focusing a lot on like worship and transformation. But yeah, other years we've done lots of different things of talking about like culture and what that means when it comes to learning about scripture and what's first. So we've had different kind of conversations like that. That's our main thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, for context, even for me.
Yeah, yeah.
How many students are involved in Asian Care this year?
Yeah, this year there's 63.
Okay, and everyone listening, we have a little over 200 in our high school, and Asian Care is for our high school students.
Correct.
So it's a good, like, at least a third.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. This year we tried something new where we have students who actually grew up in the Asian countries because their parents are serving there, and their parents were able to sign them up for Asian Fellowship, and then they can join us in our activities. So that's been fun.
Awesome. All right, Josephine. Can you just give me a little bit of insight into maybe one of your favorite parts about Asian Care that you've gotten to experience?
I think my favorite part is definitely food, because it's like a time to get a break from dorm food and like Western food. But I also like how, like, emo tries to, like, build a relationship with us personally. And something she helped me a lot last year was with, like, things happening in the dorm. And I, like, she is someone that can understand me because she is also, like, ethnically Asian. And mm-hmm. she has been through similar things. So I think that's been really helpful because, like, she is someone who can understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
Sorry, can I just say that my students call me emo? So yes. If you just, no, that means aunt in Korean. So for those of you listening, yeah.
Just no, that's really helpful. That, yeah. Ilias, what about you? Mm-hmm. What comes to mind as, like, the first thing?
I think my answers kind of got stolen. Like, food. And I think a really big aspect of it is relationship. Even though I am half Korean, I am, like, somewhat culturally more distant towards my Korean side than my American side. Mm. So being a part of Asian Care helps me recognize a lot of the nuances in Korean culture that I was, like, totally unaware of. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful going into the future, just being aware of all my cultural influences that might have been subconscious for a lot of my life, just, like, unpacking all of that and having someone to talk to, like Emo, who, like, is ethnically Korean but mm-hmm. grew up in America, mm-hmm. kind of similar cultural mix, has been, like, really helpful for me to just understand a lot of what I, like, experienced but just couldn't put into words.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, which I feel like I'm gonna say a lot of this, just because I'm learning too. Like, I've gotten to watch Asian Care, especially as an RA. I've told Esther this, Ms. Penner, but I see the impact of Asian Care, especially the way that she is so intentional with it, like, in the students that I got to do life with. But I would say a majority are in dorms. Is that correct? Just correct. Based on the fact that a lot of our students coming from different countries are mm-hmm. then boarding.
Correct.
Would one of you want to describe what does that look like maybe in the dorm, or how is that? Well, actually, Josephine already said it, like, helpful in navigating just even transitioning, because last year was your first year, correct?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, is there anything in that area that would bring insight to someone on how Asian Care fits into dorm life?
Mm-hmm. So last year I had, like, conflicts with other people in the dorm, and I went to talk to my dorm staff about it, and it's somehow related to, like, the cultural difference or, like, stereotypes. But so, like, my dorm staff suggested me to come talk to Emo because, like, she has more to say about it, and she has, like, been through more about it, and she might be able to give, like, good suggestions. So I went to talk to her, and it was really helpful. Yeah, so I think that part, because, like, even the dorm staff try to help, they might not be able to help because they don't really understand. Or, like, they have never, like, seen or, like, helped solve something like that. But, like, Emo would be a new perspective there mm-hmm. to help, and that was, like, good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can say that I have grown a lot as someone who is not Asian in my understanding of, obviously, there's so much depth in every Asian culture. Like, it's hard, right, when to put it all in even one category. So I think she's done the same for me, and the program has done the same for me of I'm learning and growing, which I'd love to, that's something I feel like it's been maybe more recent, of bringing in other parts of the student body. Could you share a little bit about, like, ACE?
Yeah. We started at ACE last year. It's called Asian Cultural Experience, and our students, those who want to be a part of it, sacrifice their time to just plan activities and presentations of Asian culture to the whole student body. And we try to do it at least 2 or 3 times a semester. So we're having one tomorrow on Lunar New Year. But, like, for example, tomorrow is going to be a very short presentation, but hands-on, where we make dumplings together. And other times it's been, hey, we know, like, we view academics differently than you guys. Let me tell you why. And so one of our presentations was on that, and helping people understand why the Asian culture might view academics differently. So that's been super fun. We've had good turnouts every time we do it. So, yeah.
Totally. Because, well, I'll ask you, Ilias, what has been your experience in being at a school that is international but definitely has some gears towards North American culture? What has that been like? What's been your experience?
Yeah, I think it's most evident in the dorms when you have like 18 kids who are from like all over the world and have all these like different cultural backgrounds trying to find commonality and trying to find like, or trying to find how to communicate their different experiences to each other. There have been like in Zona struggles in the past of cultural differences kind of creating clashes between people. And I think a lot of what Asian Care kind of just aims to do is help communicate these ideas of cultural difference to each other. And I can't talk per se how it's influenced me in the dorm because I do culturally stand very Western as opposed to a lot of other people in Asian Care. So I've just seen it help a lot of my dorm brothers.
Yeah. And you, I'm sure, in a lot of ways can be a bridge, which is neat. And maybe you didn't realize that early on, but I see it. So that's awesome. We talked about food. What are some of your favorite foods that Evo bakes for you? Did I say that correct, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I was laughing at the... Oh, I wonder what they're going to say.
I liked all of them.
I like all of it too. I think the biggest thing for me is Emo is a very steady supply of kimchi.
Yeah.
Like no matter the meal we're gonna get, we're always gonna get a side of that. Which like
I just got 5 kilos.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. That's like the awesome. Biggest thing. I mean, no matter what meal we eat, there's always just that side that's really comforting to eat.
Is that normal to have kimchi as a side for most meals in Korean culture?
Korean culture, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Josephine, you are not Korean. Do you enjoy kimchi just as much?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Josephine's pretty Korean.
I love that. I love kimchi, so I'm
her Korean is phenomenal.
That I didn't know this.
Yes.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. It's really good.
How did you learn it?
I learned from K-dramas because I just watch, like, way too much.
Good to hear. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I also had a lot of, like, a big Korean, like, population in my old school. And my parents became Christians because of, like, Korean missionaries. Mm-hmm. So my mom knows how to make a lot of Korean dishes. And
I love that. What a cool story. Yeah. Okay, sorry, back to food because it's too good. What is there any particular meal that comes to mind? It's okay if not.
This year?
Yeah.
This year, Emo had an event where she cooked samgyeopsal. It's like Korean barbecue grilled pork belly, right?
Oh, no.
And I missed out on it. It's like my favorite.
So that
would have
been number one.
It's my favorite Korean meal, and because of complications, I couldn't attend. And that still gets me kind of mad.
I think I missed out on that one, too.
Oh,
it's so good, and I missed out on it.
It's great. It leaves my house very greasy.
I can only imagine. You are amazing. I got to come last year for one of the Tuesday nights, and I was just so impressed by all the cooking and all the help you had. Yeah. Like, it was, but the way that you serve in that way is such a blessing, because why I ask about food is I've seen the trend, but I see it in not just our Asian students. I see it when our Brazilian student asked for something for his birthday and we attempt to make it and they're just so grateful.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how food in the act of sharing it with others is so important. And I would say probably every culture.
Yeah.
And how that could be something really, really hard to adjust to here if you didn't have these avenues that you're creating.
Right.
Yeah. I remember one year, we had a new student who was just like surprised that we didn't have rice readily available at every meal. And I was like,
that's so real.
It is. And I didn't know. I just was like, oh, like we have it on Wednesdays because that's when we have rice meals. But then it actually did give me an eye opening of like, okay, if we have the opportunity to make rice at times during the week, like, yeah, it will be used and it will be appreciated.
Yeah.
And so I've also, you're good. Just learning how to cook rice well. Yeah. Also, RA moment. I had to do that.
I think one thing as the Asian care coordinator is like helping Asian students have a voice in their dorms, whether they know it or not. Like, they do have a voice and they can ask. So I did have a student who was like, we don't get rice. And I like rice in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you asked them if you can make rice? Because all you need to do is ask. It, not that like that will give them permission to anything, but at least you can like ask for something that you feel like is a need for you. And so like, yeah, I feel like as Asians, maybe we're a little bit more timid to ask for things that we need, or we just learn to go with the flow. But I think giving them a voice has been something that I've really tried to help them with. It's like, just go and ask.
So. And you guys are both seniors. What does the future... I know, sorry, this is probably the worst question right now. It's literally like February, senioritis is real. What does the next step of your life look like?
Yeah, I'm hoping to go to college somewhere in America. That's all I know so far. We'll see mid-March when all the acceptances come out.
Valid.
We'll see where that takes me. Yeah.
Cool. Josephine?
Like, for China, it's a little special. We cannot go back to China for college if we didn't stay in China for high school. So my current plan is to stay in Germany.
Awesome. Yeah. And hopefully being at BFA, even though it is very international, has given you a good foundation for that. Yeah. Sweet. Awesome. Do you guys have a favorite memory from your time here with Asian care?
I gotta think about this. It's a lot.
Esther, you're two. You can share. Too. Yeah, I know you probably have even more.
I like lunch times. My office is like right by the cafeteria, and I feel like it's the second cafeteria. Like, there's the big cafeteria for everybody. And then there's my office, which is fairly large. But I have so many students come during lunchtime just to come and hang out. And I feel like it's the most free. Like, we don't really have to have an agenda. We're just there having community together. And, like, anybody can come. So it's not just Asian students. But it's become over the years more fluid with Asian and non-Asian students coming in.
Cool.
I think in the beginning it was like, oh, this is Asian care room. No one else can come in. I had students like wait at the door and we're like, no, you can come in. And now I feel like it's a influx of everybody that just comes in and out and feels like it's a good space for them to have community and a place to eat if they don't have anywhere else to go. So that's been one of my highlights, I think, to have people coming in and out of there.
I always enjoy the beginning of year event that you hold, where it's in your backyard. She has a very nice backyard. And everyone, all the new Asian care students will come and just bond and get to know each other, because I mean, when you first come to a school, it's always hard to make new friends or get to know people that you don't really have a lot of overlap in or overlap with.
Yep.
So that's always a great time to get to know people, because I feel like that really helped me get to know a lot of people when I first came here, that big event.
Totally. And I think one thing to note here that, again, is a neat part of Asian care is that it spans dorms, it spans grades, and it spans like personalities or interests. Mm-hmm. Like, there is... I think that's neat on a campus like ours. Like, it can be easy, I think, to fit kind of in certain molds, but I think it allows for, a senior to get to walk alongside a sophomore and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And hopefully, at least I saw this in the dorm, and what I have observed of Asian cultures is that kind of looking up to in a really neat way of providing care amongst the grades in that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Josephine.
My favorite memory is kind of similar to Ilias's. I like the big gatherings we had with all the grades and where we do things together or we worship, or like the Christmas thing we did, the crazy gift exchange, like white elephant or that was fun. I like because I don't really like big gatherings, but that's like the okay size for me. It's not like a whole school event where I feel overwhelmed, but it's still fun and good. Yeah, I like those.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I have to, while I get the opportunity, sing Esther's praises. I just have enjoyed, I know she hates this. I just, again, as someone, a friend, and as someone who cares for students as well, like, just, I am so thankful for the opportunity that Asian Care allows. And I know it's not always perfect, and I'm sure, you know, things, humans, right? And like we just said, communication and those kinds of things are hard to navigate just because of humans. But I really appreciate that this is a place that you guys can grow and learn, and we as well who are not involved in Asian Care can grow and learn too. So thank you for that.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now we're going to swing over to another conversation that Josh and I got to have with a BFA alum, and she gets to share about her experience while she was here and then also the impact of Asian Care now as she is an adult.
So I'm Sarah Lee. I used to be a student at BFA. I graduated in 2022, and now I'm a sophomore at Taylor in Indiana.
Awesome. And what are you majoring in?
I'm double majoring in psychology and global studies right now. Whoa. So
we'll sick.
See. That's cool.
Yeah.
What led you to that decision? Or like, are you going to stick with it or are you going to change?
I am going to stick with it. I do love both. But right now I don't see myself necessarily using psychology, but I would love to work in like media in the future, or something with sports, but in a global context. So global studies still applies, but I don't know if psychology does.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Go broad so that you can start to hone it in later.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's You're awesome. Speaking our language. Yeah. Media and sports, I'm here for. Right. Yeah. Did you play sport? Yo, I know this answer, but I'll have you tell everyone else.
Okay.
What sports did you play at VFA?
At VFA, I played soccer and basketball, and then I did volleyball very briefly, but then I quit. It wasn't my thing,
really?
But
okay.
Yeah.
I remember you for sure in basketball.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old days.
Yeah, I miss it. It was so fun.
Do you get to play like intramurals?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. And where does BFA align in your story and your family story?
So, yeah, my family, we used to live in the Middle East for 11 years before moving to Germany. And we lived there for my parents' job, and then their job took us to Germany. And we didn't move here specifically for BFA, but then we looked around for schools, good schools in Germany where they could work and we can go to school and get a good education. And so we moved to the Black Forest area, and they've lived here now for 8 years. And my little sister still goes here, so they're still here. She's a junior this year. Yeah.
Sweet. And you have another older sister that graduated also from BFA.
Yes. She graduated a year before me, so 2021.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Awesome. Well, we're here to talk about Asian Care. We would love to just hear your perspective of it when you were a student. What was your experience with it, or what were, maybe even some fun memories you have from it?
Yeah. I loved Asian Care. I, especially from what I remember, Miss Penner, Esther Penner, came in my junior year, and that's when I got like most involved in it, junior and senior year. And I think it's like an amazing opportunity, especially with the massive Asian population at BFA. I think, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a lot.
I think it's about 30%.
Yeah. And so with the massive population, I think it's a really, really great way to connect people, to just have pride in Asian culture, especially if, like for me, I grew up in the Middle East as an Asian, and we did have, and I'm Korean, and I did used to go to Korean church, but it's different when you're growing up as the only Asian in your Arab classes, and you don't really get that representation. You don't really get growing up with like friends in that culture that understand what it's like to be an Asian in a Middle Eastern country. And so being here at BFA, I think it's really, really helped me like take pride in my culture, especially because Asian Care, it was really educational, but more than that, it was more of like a celebration of who I was and it, who the other Asians on campus were. And so it really turned like a lot of like shame into pride, I guess, in high school. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool.
That's really, really great. Did you feel like it was more, like you just mentioned, it was a educational thing and a celebration? Did you feel like it was more a place for good community while you were here at BFA? Or was it more of something that prepared you then for life after BFA? Like, which, where was the value? Was it your time here, or was it, I took with me a lot of value that I gained from it? Do you understand the distinction?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if my question is that clear.
No, it is, but I feel like the answer is like 100% both.
Okay.
Cause I think my time here, like you asked me what some of my favorite memories were. And honestly, it's literally just being at Esther Penner's house with a bunch of other people and just hanging out and having that community here. But also now being in college, this year I'm the co-president of the Asian Society at Taylor. And I definitely don't think I would have applied for it if I wasn't a part of Asian Care here. And I say that because, like I said, a lot of shame turned into pride. A lot of, like my past turned into celebration through Asian Care. And actually when I was praying about applying for the job, applying for the position, I texted Esther Penner. I was like, Ms. Penner, like, please pray for me. Like, I don't know what to do, because I actually got offered the job as the Middle Eastern like organization co-president. And that definitely would have been more comfortable for me, because I lived in the Middle East for 11 years and I've never lived in South Korea. And a lot of my life, like, I tried to hide that part of me. So I was like really praying about it, and I was like texting her about it, and she was praying for me about it. And I realized, like, in the future, I do want to go into a job either through media or sports that advocates for people. And like, God was just telling me, like, how can you advocate for other people if you can't advocate for your own people? And so through a lot of like prayer and a lot of like, what do I do, God? What should I do? I decided to apply. Like, it wasn't even like guaranteed that I was going to get it. But I decided to apply. And through that, there's been so much like learning and so much celebration and so many friendships. And definitely it's because of my experience with Asian Care, my positive experience here, that I've had the courage to do that now at Taylor.
Can you help me understand? 'Cause, and you can go into whatever level of depth you want, but walk us through that common thing that you were talking about, the shame turning into celebration. Where was that? Did that shame come from? I think a lot of MKs struggle with their background, their identity. A lot of TCKs, you know, I was born here, but my parents served here, and now I live here, and that whole thing. And we all deal with it differently, but maybe in a little bit more of a practical sense, walk us through how that journey was for you, or maybe just in general for you and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
What was the common trajectory from shame to then celebrating who you are?
Yeah, I think a big part of that shame for me was just like straight up experiencing some racism growing up in the Middle East. And then coming to high school, you see a lot of other people that look like you, have experienced things like you. A lot of my Korean friends who grew up in like Mongolia, Cambodia, other Middle Eastern countries. And like a practical thing that Asian Care did, which is, and people might think it's like small, but like literally just bringing in Asian food, and like having an open like potluck, or having an open home like where Esther Penner would host us and cook Korean food, or try to cook like Chinese food and Indian food, just like celebrating food in that way of like food that used to be so different where we used to grow up, but now it's like people want to eat it, people want to have community with it. It's like a turn of narrative, I guess.
I love that. And what I feel like that is like the gospel story is redeeming shame and feelings of not belonging, and saying like, no, like, this is beautiful, and God created so many beautiful countries in Asia and people that live in those countries. Yeah. And so that's so encouraging for me to hear. There is sometimes a sentiment around here that it can feel exclusive. What was your take on how Asian care blended into the rest of the BFA community mm-hmm. in your time, and then maybe even what you see now that you're removed?
Yeah, I think that was a very controversial thing, even when I was here. And I've talked a lot about it with Ms. Penner and her perspective on it. But I think it ultimately comes down to, I think as Christians, our calling and just our job, everybody, we're supposed to make our communities here resemble heaven more. Mm. And in heaven, diversity is there. Yep. Everybody is celebrated. Everybody is made in the image of God. So for me, it's why wouldn't we celebrate diversity on earth? Why wouldn't we celebrate differences when yeah. heaven is like that? And I do think it is, there is that part where if there are people within Asian care who are, their heart is, to exclude others, obviously that's an issue. Obviously,
sure.
If people are no, we don't want you a part of this because we want exclusivity, that's an issue.
Sure.
But I also think there are experiences and there are just the way that you grow up that a lot of people cannot understand. Mm-hmm. And I think Asian care, Ms. Penner does a really good job at having those conversations with people and kind of helping them process it, process things that a lot of people don't really have the opportunity to process through. Yes. Because they don't come across it in life.
Yeah.
So that's why I really appreciate Asian care. And I do, I love when people who aren't Asian or who haven't grown up in Asian countries want to try the food and want to yeah. be I love bringing people in. It's so fun. And I think that's what the Christian body should look like. I think you should want to I think you should care and learn about other cultures. So I don't think yeah, and I know Ms. Penner's heart isn't exclusivity. Yes. I think it's sometimes you just can't explain to people, you know?
Yeah, and I think she's done a really great job. We'll hear from her in this episode too. But I've seen in my 6 years here a shift in the perspective. And I think too, again, Asian care at BFA is its own culture too. Mm-hmm. in the midst of as we talk about cultures.
Probably some of the best food I've eaten in the 8 years of serving here at BFA.
Absolutely.
So good food. The handful of times that I've been allowed to enter and yep. partake in the amazing potlucks and, the food that you were describing. Yeah, yes, so good.
Absolutely.
So amazing. We're going to have, hopefully, seniors, current BFA seniors, listening in on this conversation that are a part of the Asian care community now. What is some hope? What is mm-hmm. some encouragement that you can give to them?
Okay, so I think the thing I will say is one of the biggest lessons I've learned at college so far, and just some backstory. When I first went into college, I had this mindset, obviously not intentionally, but just subconsciously of seeing others and doing life with others who've never gone outside the country or who've never experienced other cultures, and kind of thinking, oh wow, they're really not global minded, they have a very small mindset. Mm-hmm. But then I was really convicted of that because I was reminded that that's how they grew up, they didn't have the opportunities to grow up like I did, and that this is how I grew up, and I didn't have the opportunities to grow up how they did. So we just have different upbringings. And with that being said, I'm assuming that most BFA seniors, whether you want to go to college or not, wherever you move, it's not going to be BFA. BFA is such a weird, different place. You can yep. never, I can never explain it to people. I try, but they just don't understand it because it's its own little world, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So whenever they go to college or gap year or start a job or live somewhere else, that you'll find people who have different upbringings. It's not necessarily that they don't want to not learn about you. It's that they haven't had the opportunity to learn globally. So I would just encourage them, like, just be proud and, like, share that part of you and share and listen to their story too. Like, their story is as important as yours. Mm-hmm. And you might feel like, wow, like, people don't understand me because, like, they don't know, like, everything, like, everywhere I've lived, they don't, like, they have never experienced the culture, but, like, you can bring that to their life too. Like, you can be that, like, little glimpse of, like, what it's like to live abroad, to live in, to be Asian, to live in different countries. And then also, like, they could be that source for you too. Like, does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. It's like, yeah,
I think it's easy when you have so, like, a very wide lens of the world because of what you've gotten to experience, to then feel almost like a superiority to others. And so what I hear you saying is there's beauty in every story.
Oh, yeah,
and getting,
sure.
Like, I hope it sounds like you've learned too through Asian Care the value of listening to other people's mm-hmm. stories and asking questions and being curious.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah, finding that's awesome. Finding that balance of mutual compassion
mm-hmm.
and valuing
yep.
each other. Mm-hmm. I married a monocultural.
Yeah.
And she has taught me the value of roots, like,
yeah,
deep
exactly.
roots, right? And I've, you know, helped her break out of that, like, hey, let's move house every 3 years, you know, like, because
yeah.
that's normal.
Yep.
Not, right?
I know, after the third year, like, you kind of get uneasy. You're
right?
Like, oh, I need to move.
Need to move.
So true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, that's totally wise. And it's cool that you're on this journey learning, you know, because we try to teach you these things.
I actually remember.
Word of mouth, like,
yeah.
while you're here at BFA.
Yeah,
there's, but until
you spoke on it one
yeah,
time.
Or until
not,
you go
probably
and
not
experience
just one
it.
Time. But, like, you came during, I don't know if it was chapel or, like, senior transition day or
maybe.
Something. It was, like,
yeah.
little breakouts. And I remember, like, I went to your little breakout. It was in the auditorium. And then you were talking about that and, like, your experience with, like, your roommate
mm-hmm.
and everything. And I was like, oh, that's a good lesson. And then I forgot about it. Until, like, I was in college, I'm like, oh, this is, like, actually so relevant to college students, you know?
That's great to hear. That's
good
awesome.
Good job, Josh.
I'm making an impact.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. We love our BFA alumni. Sweet. We hope you were encouraged by this conversation and just getting to hear a little more about the more niche programs that happen here on campus, and are encouraged also by just how beautiful and the diversity is here. I know I am on a regular basis, and I just can only imagine that this place and other communities like it are just a small glimpse of what heaven will look like. So we are just so thankful for this department and for Miss Penner, and also for you guys listening. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is made possible by the generous supporters all around the world who enable each staff member to serve here. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at bfacademy.de or follow along on Instagram and Facebook at Black Forest Academy. You can find links in the description of this episode.
The BFA Life podcast is brought to you by BFA Communications, and the music is provided by Emma Worthy, class of 2020.
We hope that through this podcast, you've received a glimpse into what God is doing through our families, staff, and students as they influence their world for Christ.